children grades 3 and under can go to Children's Church. And as they do so, you are invited to turn with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 490. Psalm 46. To the leader of the Korahites, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And that doesn't mean Selah vi. This is the third in that series of sermons based on readings from the Common Lectionary, which I wrote for the Smith Hellwis website. And in looking at the various choices for this particular Sunday, this one kind of almost leapt from the page as I was reading it. God, I believe in you. I've given my heart to you and tried to follow you. I try to live a good life, follow the Ten Commandments, and try to think WWJD. I've been praying to you but can't seem to find the answer for my problems. Are you even listening to me? God, where are you? I wonder if I'm the only person here today who ever feels like that. I hope so. I mean, I really do. I hope I'm the only person that ever feels that way. But my guess is that we can all admit at some point in time or another to similar thoughts or spoken words if we will just be honest. Perhaps, like me, you have even had an occasion where you didn't just think these words. You didn't just speak these words. But you screamed these words. And by the way, God can handle that. Maybe you even feel this way right now, in your life, in this place. And you wonder if there is something wrong with you or something that you have done wrong. Lord, what did I do that I deserve this? Sickness. Tragedy. Or something so greatly important as not getting the girl or the guy. Pulls at your heart. Tugs at your mind. Rocks your self-esteem, and you begin to wonder whether God really cares or not. Or dare one even suggest that perhaps God has turned from us. And here we're coming to Thanksgiving, and we may have these feelings. And we may be wondering, is there any reason to really be thankful? The psalm on which we meditate today recognizes that the world is not always wonderful, bright and shiny. The world is filled with difficulties. But the writer here in this particular psalm reiterates an assurance that God is always present, not just in the good times, but God is always there. We just need to look around. And if we really open our eyes, we will find that God is indeed in our midst, right in the middle, smack dab in the middle of where we are. This is a psalm meant in part to inspire confidence in God, and not just for the end of time, but it reminds us of God's ongoing assistance in a threatening world. Now, we don't live in a threatening world, do we? Yeah, we live in a very threatening world and in very difficult times. The psalmist recognized the difficulties of the days in which he lived. He wondered at times, "Where are you, God?" And yet, in the middle of those questions and that wondering, he found this assurance that God is there, even in a threatening, scary world. According to tradition, this psalm also inspired Martin Luther to write that great hymn. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. And he wrote it as Vienna was being besieged by the Turks. And after that siege, he penned those words, recognizing God's presence and God as an ever-present strength. Today we live in a world that seems to be under siege, do we not? In many different arenas we find that happening. And if we really don't look for God, if we really get down on ourselves and our world, we can easily become overwhelmed. But Psalm 46 can serve as a reminder for you and for me of the strength of our fortress, God, in a very scary world. By the way, this psalm was meant to be sung in corporate worship, though it can certainly inspire private reflections as well. It contains three stanzas, one for the congregation. So I guess I should have had y'all sing the first one. One for the congregation to sing, and two for the Levitical leader in the synagogue, that Levite who would lead worship and who would be something of a cantor. We're really not sure which catastrophe had happened in Israel and in the life of Israel that may have prompted this psalm. But the psalmist is confident in God and stresses the blessings of God for the faithful nation, both in the present time in which he was living and in the future. And for us, it calls us to remember God's blessing for we who are faithful, and not just off in the future, but even in the present. Even when sometimes we look around us and we wonder perhaps where the next meal will originate, or the money to pay the bills, or a kind word might come our way. And both of the last two stanzas sung by the Levite end with the refrain, "The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge." word can also be translated fortress. This refrain served as a reminder that the same God who watched over Jacob in difficult times. And if you go back and read the stories, you know that Jacob had some real difficulties. And he had some rather difficult children. That same God who watched over Jacob in difficult times is caring for His people now. It's not will care, but is caring. Present tense. Is here now and will continue to care in the future. As the congregation sings out the first verse, we find words that are often a source of comfort at what difficult times in life? When do we generally hear God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble? Yeah, TJ, at funerals. We are reminded of God's constant care and concern for all of creation, but not just at funerals. Whenever there are difficult times, whenever there are scary events in our lives, whenever there is uncertainty about what is going to happen, God is still our ever-present help. Though people sometimes are unsure of God, God has continually proven Himself and will continue to do so. If you look all the way back in creation, the reference to the waters, where there was chaos, God brought order and light and life. The psalmist indicates that though the earth may change and the mountains may even shake and fall because of earthquakes, the text says, we will not fear. These images we can see on television, right? Earthquakes and floods, volcanoes erupting. But they're not just physical things. These references to the mountains shaking and the earthquakes are images that represent threats to our lives. Not just physical threats, but even emotional and spiritual threats to our lives. And they underscore the need to have someone or some place of refuge. They speak to the necessity for a strong fortress when the terrors of disease, war, poverty, financial uncertainties, loneliness, and so many other things in our world assault us and threaten our sense of well-being. The psalmist encourages us to have that same confidence that he does, that those who are faithful will not be undone by fear. That doesn't mean we will not have fear, but that the fear will not overcome and overwhelm us. Since God is in our midst, we can truly find life, not just survive from moment to moment, but truly find a way to live, even in the difficult days. But such a faith doesn't survive times of duress because of us. The psalmist reminds us that it survives times of duress because God is our refuge and strength. Not was, and not just will be, but is. As the congregants end singing their stanza, the Levite begins singing and brings to them the good news that God is not only our Creator, but our Sustainer today and forever. With the words of, and I quote, "A river whose streams make glad the city of God," the psalmist calls upon the congregation to see the river as the life-giving fountain of God's presence. At the time of the composition of this psalm, the city of God would have been that great city of Jerusalem, a city which had seen a great deal of difficulty, a great deal of turmoil throughout its history, even before Israel entered. There had been a great deal of turmoil, and yet, even before Israel as a nation had come, when Abraham came through, that city of Jerusalem was also seen as a place where one could find God. Abraham, after defeating several kings, goes to present 10% of everything he had, what becomes the standard for a tithe, present it to God through Melchizedek, king of Salem and priest of God Most High. The Canaanite word for Jerusalem was Salem. Even back in the time of Abraham, God proved His presence with those who were faithful. Jerusalem, unlike many other major cities of the times, though, had no river of its own, which makes the words even more meaningful. There was not a river that flowed through or around Jerusalem. The psalmist is saying that since God is that life-affirming stream, then when we faithfully trust Him and open ourselves fully to God, God's Spirit will infuse us with sustenance like a stream of waters, regardless of what comes our way. For us, the teaching is that no matter the darkest night, the stream of God's presence, that which gives us life, will bring us blessing and will sustain us. Troubles may come, but the city and God's people find reason to be glad. Why? Because in verse 4, they are the holy habitation of God. We are the holy habitation of God. God's Spirit within us. God is in their midst. And God promises to help them right early. Literally, when the morning draws near. I know a lot of us in here don't really see how beautiful it is when the morning draws near. Why? And sometimes I do that as well. But I will tell you that when the morning draws near, it can be one of the most beautiful, one of the most awe-inspiring, and one of the most humbling times in life. Come sit in a deer stand with me some morning about 5:30 and watch the sun come up and the world wake up. I told William recently, as we were riding back from deer hunting, I said, you know, if anybody came out and sat and watched this morning, there's no way they could ever question whether God is present. But here he says God promises to help them literally when the morning draws near, to begin the day helping them, which means that God's presence is with them all the time. These words remind us of the creation account in Genesis 1, when there is darkness or chaos and God brings the dawn to overcome that which is frightening. The psalmist reminds us of the promise of that incident. God brings the newness of dawn into the lives of those who faithfully look to Him. And she, Jerusalem, yes, but our holy temples, we ourselves, can stand firm within God's presence and within God's promise. Though nations rage and kingdoms totter, though terrorists rant and threats of war loom, though insecurity and feelings of helplessness are around us sometimes because of economics or maybe because of family troubles, they can be defeated with a confident cry. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Finally, this psalm reaches great heights in the third stanza, with declarations of hope which are seen in God's power. But not just God's power for destruction, God's power for blessing. Wars continue. And men cannot seem to make them stop, can we? In fact, oftentimes when we talk about peace, we send in troops to keep peace by carrying around weapons. We can't even keep them from beginning. But God, the Lord of hosts, can and one day will end strife. The hopeful psalmist looks forward to a time when God's peace will reign. Though sometimes we and the circumstances may postpone those blessings, God's power will never be fully defeated. And the psalmist's faith gives the readers a tremendous boost with the assuring words from God in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. In other words, God's saying, hold on. Time out. Relax. Know me and be known. And interestingly enough, the Hebrew word here, it comes from the root word yada, the sense of knowing intimately. The same word that is used when Adam knew Eve. The same word that is used in Psalm 1 when the text says that the Lord knows, yada, the Lord knows intimately the way of the righteous. We are to understand that those who faithfully look to God in all circumstances, who seek truly to find God, and who acknowledge Him can be confident that such faith will eventually overcome the tension, the fear, the desperation that we feel, but also the desperation of the world. And the one who makes this statement to us is not me. It's not TJ. It's not Ed. It's God, the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, the one who inspired Martin Luther to write A Mighty Fortress, is our God. This week, we celebrate Thanksgiving. Y'all probably heard that somewhere. We celebrate Thanksgiving this week. We remember what God has done for us, what God continues to do for us, and perhaps we look with a little bit of hope, even though sometimes it might be nervous hope, for what God will do in our future. And next Sunday, November 28th, begins the season of Advent, a continuation of that Thanksgiving, that time of waiting, of preparation and hope for peace and joy and love. This time period before Christmas is when we are reminded that God came to us in a baby who grew into a man, and who is our Messiah. Guess what, folks? The world into which Jesus came and lived was one filled with tension. A world of war. A world of occupation. A world of unrest. A world of poor economics. A world in which people wondered and cried out, oh God, how long? Oh God, where are you? Oh God, do you even care? Our world is not very different. But Psalm 46 allows us, as we prepare ourselves for that coming, to sing a song which shares not just with others, but which shares with our own selves that good news of faith. God is in our midst. and He comes again to sustain us, to redeem us. He is here as Emmanuel, God with us forever and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn today is hymn 696, God Leads Us Along. As we stand in a moment and as we sing, may we truly be reminded that even though there are floods and fires, even though there are difficulties, perhaps spiritual and emotional, that God is there leading us along. God is smack dab in the middle with us. As we sing number 696, our altar is open for any decision that you might make. God leads us along.